Our focus this morning is going to be on Psalms chapter 119. And we're not going to do the whole chapter. We're just doing eight verses, verses 33 through 40. My theme this morning is found in Psalms chapter 139, verses 23 and 24. And let me read it to you. Search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and know my thoughts. And see if there be any grievous way within me. And lead me in the way everlasting. Interestingly enough, the passage that I'm going to be using this morning came to me about 2 months ago as I was reading through Psalms chapter 119. These verses, 33 through 40, really stood out to me because of the instruction and the plea that the psalmist had to God. His passionate plea for God's wisdom and instruction and the fulfillment of the promises that God has made to us through his word. It reminded me of the responsibility that we as parents, and us specifically as fathers, have to our children and to our grandchildren. This, when I decided that I was going to speak on this passage, it was quite some time ago, and I didn't realize I was going to have the opportunity on Father's Day, but here we are. God works those things out, and let us not try and figure too hard on how he would do that, but there it is. If I had the projector working today, it also is on sabbatical, I would show you a picture this morning of a wall hanging that my daughter and my daughters-in-law prepared for us and gave to us probably at least 12 years ago. That'd probably be about right, because all of the grandchildren were present for the preparation of this thing. Let me just describe it to you, and if you want to see it anytime, you got to come over to our house, okay? But the title was A Prayer for Your Grandchildren. And it said, lead us in the way of Christ, and we will follow your path. Now, does that put a responsibility on your shoulders or not? But the interesting thing about this, they went through a lot of effort to make this picture happen because they took each one of our grandchildren. They got their foot wet with a color of paint, and they placed the image of each one of the grandchildren on this picture. It is something to behold. Rachel's print is the largest and might be big enough to cover a good share of the whole print nowadays. But Ethan was the youngest, and he just has a little portion of the print. But it's a beautiful thing. I pass that thing several times a day. I'm reminded of the responsibility that we have for the legacy that we leave as parents and grandparents. So we're blessed to have that, and we do enjoy that often. I left you with a outline, and I pulled the sense out of each verse that I wanted to make a point on. And I just want to share that. I'm going to support that with the other scriptures in the Bible that will augment what I'm trying to, the points I'm trying to make with each one of these eight verses in Psalms 119, verses 33 through 40. The first one is, well, let's read the passage first. Let's read the passage first. Teach me, O Lord, the way of your statutes, and I will keep it to the end. Give me understanding that I may keep your law and observe it with all my heart. Lead me in the path of your commandments, for I delight in it. Incline my heart to your testimonies and not to selfish gain. Turn my eyes from looking at worthless things and give me life in your ways. Confirm to your servant your promise that you may be feared. Turn away the reproach that I dread, for your rules are good. Behold, I long for your precepts. In your righteousness, give me life. Let's ask God to bless our time together. Dear Heavenly Father, we do know that we are unable to accomplish anything worthwhile without calling on you for strength and for wisdom. So we ask, Father, that as we go through this time of study this morning, that you would reveal what it is that you would have us to learn from it and help us to see how we can walk a better walk as a result of knowing you and drawing you close to us. And we pray in the name of Jesus. Amen. So the first, verse 33. I would like to just share one passage that comes out of Isaiah that supports this. Teach me, O Lord. Isaiah 54, verse 13 says, all your children shall be taught by the Lord, and great shall be the peace of your children. Now that's encouraging to me, because it helps me understand that I am not the source of wisdom, but that God is the source of wisdom. And his word is the source for our teaching. Now, I'm not going to be directing you to each one of these scriptures this morning, because it would be a lot like an Awana sword drill, because I'm going to use a lot of scriptures. We'll be bouncing around a lot. But I want you to get the gist of the fact that God's word supports itself. These passages do not stand alone. We can find plenty of evidence that God was very clear on what he intended. So he's encouraging us not only to teach our children, but to be taught by himself. And we use his word for that. In John chapter 6, verse 45, it is written in the prophets, and they will be taught by God. Everyone who has heard and learned from the Father comes to me. So the reminder here is that we will be drawn close to God as we study his word. The wisdom that comes from studying his word will enlighten us and show us the way. Matthew 10:22 says, and you will be hated by all for my name's sake, but the one who endures to the end will be saved. We're reminded that the path that God calls us to walk is not always easy, and that we will need strength to face each day. Sometimes it'll be very difficult. And so we need to know that God understands this, and he can prepare us to be effective as we walk in the light. I want to also draw your attention to another verse that is very important to me, and it's a Philippians chapter 1, verse 6. I am sure of this, that he who began a good work in you will bring it to the completion at the day of Christ. The promise that what we do and what he calls us to, and the fact that he has begun a good work in us, he will finish it. He's not going to leave it undone. He's going to accomplish what he intended to do. And it will be in his timing. It will not necessarily be when we would like to be finished with all of this we're struggling with. He can accomplish what he wants to do within his own timing. So we need to be patient. 1 John 1, 2:27 reads, "But the anointing that you received from him abides in you, and you have no need that anyone should teach you. But as his anointing teaches you about everything and is true and is no lie, just as it has been taught to you, abide in him." We're reminded that we always need to be coming back to God. We need to be seeking out the wisdom that he has to offer. We need to accomplish that which he has set before us in the place that he has put us. And we need to be certain that we understand that his teachings are true and perfect, and that we need not depart from them. We should not depart from them. Well, that was verse 33. There was a lot in there, but there's more in verse 34. And the key phrase here is, "Give me understanding." In Psalms 111, verse 10, "The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom." This is a passage that is very familiar to us. "And all those who practice it have good understanding. His praise endures forever." Another passage in Proverbs. Proverbs is always a great one to go for wisdom. And chapter 2, verse 6, "For the Lord gives wisdom. From his mouth come knowledge and understanding." So we need to be focused in God's word and seeking out that wisdom. In Matthew 7, verse 24, "Everyone then who hears these words of mine and does them," hears them and does them, "will be like a wise man who builds his house on a rock." The key here that I want to emphasize is not just hearing God's word, but to do what God calls us to do. And in James 1:25, we see that again. "But the one who looks into the perfect law, the law of liberty, and preserves and perseveres, being no hearer who forgets, but a doer who acts, he will be blessed in his doing." And there's another phrase in that in verse 34 that says, "And observe with my whole heart." I would like to look at Psalms 119, verse 10. "With my whole heart I seek you. Let me not wander from your commandments." Here's an instruction that we, if we seek God, that he will provide the wisdom that we need, and he will give us the direction that we need, and we can be blessed by that. Proverbs 119, verse 69, "The insolent smear me with lies, but with my whole heart I keep your precepts." Again, a reminder that it's not always going to be easy. We become targets when we live as a Christian, because there's so many people in the world around us who really object to what Christians believe and how Christians behave. And so we're going to take some flack from time to time, and that we will perhaps even be, we'll have stories told about us, people will lie about us, but the truth is that there are a lot more serious things that could happen to a person who is a believer, and yet God protects us in all of it, that he does watch over us. I'm going to lead off or go off to verse 35 now. The phrase there that I chose is "lead me," and each one of these phrases just stood out to me as I was reading through this passage, and I've read it over and over again since I rediscovered it for the first time a couple of months ago, that these eight verses just spoke to me, and these passages stood out to me. Psalm 119, verse 35, lead me. Verse 173 in Psalm 119 says, your hand be ready to help me, for I have chosen your precepts. God is a source of our strength. No matter where we are, no matter what we are doing, what we're involved in, he is always there, and his hand is there to lead us. Psalm 23, verse 3, you all remember this one. He restores my soul. He leads me in paths of righteousness for his name's sake. We can depend on God to lead us. His Holy Spirit is within us. And if we listen to the Holy Spirit and we call upon the Holy Spirit to provide direction, that is available to us. That is a resource that we can rely on. Proverbs 3:17, her ways are the ways of pleasantness and her paths are the paths of peace. And he's speaking about wisdom here. And that if we use or if we apply wisdom in our lives, we can have a much more pleasant existence because we are following God. We are being obedient to God. Peace can be found in that kind of a lifestyle, even if we're struggling with what the world has to push on us and offer us, we can see peace in any circumstance. Psalm 119, verse 16, I will delight in your statutes, I will not forget your word. A reminder that God chooses to lead us through his word. And we can be thankful for that. Romans 7:22, for I delight in the law of God in my inner being. We're thankful for the fact that we can embrace and receive joy from God's word, and that we can carry it in our hearts, and we can let it be a lamp unto our feet and a light unto our path, regardless of our circumstances. Verse 36 in Psalm 119, I chose the phrase, incline my heart to your testimonies. 1 Kings 8, verse 58 says that he may incline our hearts to him, to walk in all his ways, and to keep his commandments, his statutes, and his rules, with which he commanded our fathers. So we're encouraged that we might be drawn to him, to desire the obedience to him, and to be passionate about right living before God. And that takes commitment. We can't just be casual about that. We have to be very deliberate. Like Todd says, be intentional. And that is the right attitude to have. We can't just be cavalier about our relationship with God. Ezekiel 11, verses 19 and 20. I will give them one heart and one new spirit I will put within them. I will remove the heart of stone from their flesh and give them a heart of flesh, that they may walk in my statutes and keep my rules and obey them. And they shall be my people, and I will be their God. That's the kind of relationship that we want to have, to be close enough to God, be so close to him that we have that kind of an intimate relationship. And he will change our lives and cause wonderful things to happen within our lives because of our obedience to him. Luke 12, verse 15. And he said to them, take care and be on your guard against all covetousness, for one's life does not consist of the abundance of his possessions. This is one of the reminders that we have as we live, that there are times when we can be clouded by what the world has to offer. The glitter of success, the glitter of money, the glitter of possessions, that can draw us away from God. So we're reminded here in Luke that we should not be focused on those kinds of things, but that we should be focused on what God wants for us. 1 Timothy, but those... this is verse 6, or chapter 6, verses 9 and 10. But those who desire to be rich fall into temptation, into a snare, in many senseless, harmful desires that plunge people into ruin and destruction. For the love of money is the root of all evil. In verse 37, turn my eyes. There's just a couple of passages here that I want to highlight. Turn my eyes from looking at worthless things. This is a continuation of the theme towards the end of verse 36. Proverbs 4:25 says, let your eyes look directly forward and your gaze be straight forward before you. Do not be distracted by the things that are the world has to offer. Keep your eyes on the prize. And then 1 John 1 or 2:16. This preaches all by itself. For all that is in the world, the desires of the flesh, the desires of the eyes, and the pride in possessions, is not from the Father, but it is from the world. Verse 38, confirm to your servant your promise. And I want to share from 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 20 and 21. For all the promises of God find their yes in him. That is why it is through him that we utter our amen to God for his glory. And it is God who establishes us with you in Christ, and has anointed us, and who has also put this his seal on us and given us his Spirit in our hearts as a guarantee. There's a promise there that we can take anywhere we want to go, that God is with us. He's given us the Holy Spirit to be our guide. We need to listen. We need to pay attention. And we as fathers and grandfathers need to be reminded that we set an example before our children and grandchildren. We do not want to disappoint God by inappropriate behavior or thoughts or words. There's a couple of verses in Psalms here, in Psalm 103. That I want to share also. First of all, it's Psalm 103, verse 11. For as high as the heavens are above the earth, so great is his steadfast love toward those who fear him. Just a reminder that he loves us, and he desires the best for us, and he wants us to be successful in a way that is measured in his eye. Psalm 103, verse 13, as a father shows compassion to his children, so the Lord shows compassion to those who fear him. There's an example of how our relationship with our family should be, and God sets the example for that. And 103, verse 17, but the steadfast love of the Lord is from the everlasting to everlasting on those who fear him, and his righteousness to the children's children. This passage reminds me that as a father and a grandfather, I should be claiming the truth of this verse, that I do have an influence on my children and my grandchildren, and how I behave is part of my legacy to them. What I teach them and the way I show my love to them, I want to set the example that God has shown to each one of us. Turn away from reproach. Verse 39. The reproach that I dread. Now you know that as we go through life, we are constantly reminded that we have a sin nature. It does not leave us. We can overcome it through God's strength that he provides to us. But that is always there in the background, and there is a need for forgiveness that we have had, first of all, for the sins that we have committed, that we have confessed before God. That forgiveness, if it was not there, if it was not available to us, we would have no hope for eternity. Psalm 39, verse 8 says, deliver me from all my transgressions. Do not make me the scorn of the fool. And certainly we would be subject to scorn if we were not, if our transgressions continued to follow us wherever we went. Verse 119, verse 22, take away from me the scorn and contempt, for I have kept your testimony. And the promise there is that if we continue to walk in the Lord, that we can overcome our past. Our past can be overcome. 119, verse 31, I cling to your testimonies, O Lord. Let me not be put to shame. So once again, we are encouraged by the fact that our desire should be for the Lord and for the instructions of his word, his truth, and the life in which he has placed us, and the time in which he has placed us. Verse 40. Behold,
here we are. I long for your precepts. Psalm 119, verse 5 says, oh, that my ways may be steadfast in keeping your statutes. 119, verse 20, my soul is consumed with the longing for your rules at all times. We need to have a passion for God's word and a passion for obedience before God. In that, we will be setting an example that will be one that will honor God. In 2 Corinthians chapter 7, verse 1, since we have these promises, beloved, let us cleanse ourselves from every defilement of the body and the spirit, bringing holiness to completion in the fear of God. Continually going back to the importance of having that close relationship with God. Philippians 3, verses 13 and 14. Brothers, I do not consider that I have made it my own, But one thing I do, forgetting what lies behind and straining forward to what lies ahead, I press on toward the goal for the prize of the upward calling of God in Jesus Christ. The thought there is today that we have not lived perfect lives as fathers. Yet what is behind us and Christ has dealt with on the cross, we need not carry his baggage for the rest of our lives. Instead, we should be looking forward and desiring to walk an obedient life in the future. And the prize that is before us is the one that we all can be blessed with when we have accepted Christ as our Lord and Savior and have chosen to walk with him. And the obedience of doing that is reward in itself, but there is so much more that we can have. So today we're celebrating Father's Day, and again, that was a coincidence that this message came up on Father's Day. But I'm speaking to you, I guess, in some respects as a father or a grandfather, particularly to your young folks, the importance of the walk that we have before God, the legacy that we're going to leave that is a result of our behavior as we walked each day. 1 Thessalonians 2, 11 and 12 says, "For you know how, like a father with his children, we exhorted each one of you and encouraged you and charged you to walk in a manner worthy of God, who calls you into his own kingdom and glory." So the benefit of the encouragement and the wisdom, sharing of wisdom and direction within our families and with others who we meet, sharing our faith in Christ, is all part of what can help show one to that their need for Christ is should be a dominant part of life, and that they should step forward and accept Christ as Lord and Savior. There's a benediction here that I found in Psalms 43, verse 3. And that is this: "Send out your light and your truth. Let them lead me. Let them bring me to your holy hill and to your dwelling place." This is our goal. So we live our lives and we touch the lives of others. The goal is to get to the point where we can see God in his majesty at the end of our time together and as we go on individually into heaven. To walk faithfully each step we take every day.